Down. Please forgive me. The shiur tonight is dedicated for, well, Mir Tashem be a quick and complete refuah for Eitan Eliezer ben Bracha Shira and for Moshe Menachem ben Devor b'soch shar chole Yisrael. Okay, so we made it to week 3. Baruch Hashem, we made it to week 3. Let's review what we know so far. We'll start with the first source, the words of Rav Chaim Vital. Again, to just ground ourselves in the source of this whole concept of these shirim, that's what Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Shari Kedusha. He says that we know that in the body of man there are four yesodos hatachtonim, there are four lower elements, and he says they are made up of good and evil. And he writes where it's bold in source number one, v'guf ha'adam notzer min atov shavar b'yesodos eish ruach mayim and afar. That man has within him, as does the entire bria, as does the entire universe, fire, wind, water, and earth. So the first week we spoke about Eish. The negative side of Eish we explained was arrogance, was gaiva, was kaas, was anger. The opposite trait was humility. Last week we spoke about Ruach. Ruach in the negative is a misuse of speech. Ruach in the positive is a person who develops either holy speech or, like we spoke about last week, a holy type of silence. And now we come to the third one. Come to the third one of the four on the list. And that is Mayim. Okay, what exactly does Mayim represent? So again, we turn to the Baal HaTanya, the second of the sources, where the Baal HaTanya at the end of the first parak of Tanya tells us that Jewish people have two souls. We have a more elevated soul that makes us unique, and we have a soul that comes, he says, from the klipa, from the sitra achra, so to speak, a negative part of man's soul, which, he says, envelops itself in the blood of a person, and it sustains the body of a person. He quotes the pasuk, ki nefesh habasar badamhi, that the soul of man is found in his flesh. There's the lower element of man's soul. And he says it expresses itself through, again, these four yesodos, these four elements and their corresponding character traits. And he writes, where it's bolded, kas v'gaivam yesod ha'ish, like we learned. Anger and arrogance, pride, comes from fire. The second one on his list, and he changes the order a little bit. And this is the one we're going to discuss tonight. V'tavas ha-ta'anugim yesod ha-mayim. Tavas ha-ta'anugim. The desire for pleasure. The constant desire for pleasure comes from water. Ki mayim matzmichim kol minei tanug. Because water produces all sorts of pleasure. There's an interesting comment, a sefer called the Imre Bina, from the Mittler Rebbe, from the second Lubavitch Rebbe. And the Mittler Rebbe explains, he says that everything grows from water. Which means that when you bite into that sweet apple that's been nourished through the tree, through its roots, through the water that sustains it, it's the sweetness, there's a certain sweetness within the water that injects itself, so to speak, into the fruits that are going to be produced. And he goes on to explain again how that sweetness that's found within the water, right, expresses itself as it emerges in various parts of the bria. So there's this unbelievable sweetness, a certain enjoyment, a certain pleasure that comes from water. Even though water, again, on its own seems very plain, but as water interacts with the various parts of the bria, he says this is true, as it expresses itself even in inanimate objects, as water interacts with plant life, as water interacts with animal life, as water interacts with human beings, water somehow represents, again, it facilitates, it stimulates growth, and therefore it represents taivas hata'anugim, the desire for pleasure. Desire for an expansiveness that water represents. Like this morning when I was making myself a cup of coffee at the Keurig and I overfilled the Keurig a little bit and the water started to flow outward. That's the nature of water. It likes to expand itself. Water is connected to chesed, hispashtos, expansion. The water likes to live expansively. And that represents a person who's seeking all sorts of pleasures of the world. Tava satanukim. Wants to expand, wants to grow. And that's the one we're going to discuss tonight. The Baal HaTanya goes on, again, like we spoke about last week. He says that Ruach corresponds to Dvarim B'Teilim, and a person who speaks foolish words. And next week we'll come to the final topic in our series, which is Afar, which is dirt, which corresponds to laziness and depression. Okay, but let's try to understand a little bit more what the Baal HaTanya is, again, hinting to, when he says that Mayim is Tavas HaTa'anugim. What type of pleasure are we talking about? Whatever the tavas hatanugim, seeking desires, desiring pleasure. What exactly does that include? So again, the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, is borrowing, in the 18th century, he's borrowing from Rav Chaim Vital. So let's go back to the original source, in source number 3, again in the Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital in the 1500s tells us a little bit more what's included in Mayim. What's included, again, in the negative side, we're going to start with the negative. What's included in the negative side of water? Yesod HaMayim in source number 3, Mimenu Tabas HaTa'anugim. Again, the same words we saw in the Baal Tanya. That water, the element of water, represents the desire for pleasure. Ki min HaMayim Matzmichim Kol Minei Tanug, because water produces all sorts of pleasures. What are some of the specifics? V'toldoseh HaShtayim, the subcategories are two. Number one, HaChemda. Number one, desire. What type of desire? Ligzol mamon chavero. A person who says, I want to have as much money as that other person. V'ishto, v'chol asher lo. I desire that person's spouse. I wish I had that person's children. I wish I could live the luxurious lifestyle, right? That person who I look at and see, wow, they have it really good. They get to enjoy life in this world. That chemda, that desire, that longing, lis'anik bahen, to have what that other person has. And even to steal it from them. And even to, God forbid, take advantage of the other person's spouse. To get involved, God forbid, in an adulterous relationship. Right? Pursuing immoral sexual pleasures. And a second subcategory, he says, is kinna, is jealousy. Again, that irrational desire that makes me want things that I know I can't have. Which is so much connected to, again, this pursuit of desire. Ki yekone bechaver, that I'm jealous of someone else, asher lo mamon rav v'kiyotzei lis'anik. Well, chemda and kinah, he says. Chemda and kinah. Desire and jealousy as it expresses itself. Again, a desire for money, which will even lead to theft. A desire for arayos, which leads sometimes even, God forbid, to terrible sins of adultery. Right? And that jealousy that makes a person want to replace someone else. It's interesting. In the Aseret HaDibros, right, the last of the Aseret HaDibros, as it's presented in this week's parasha, not to be jealous, but if you look in Veschanan, in the second presentation of the Aseret HaDibros, it's lo tis'aveh, taiva. Don't have a taiva. Don't have a desire. It's exactly our topic tonight. Don't have desires for things that are not really for you, that are not really meant for you. Now, what's the positive side? Of course, we have to focus on the positive as well. What, so to speak, the way that we conquer and refine this element of water? So he tells us, he continues, v'hefchem heim arba midos tovos. Again, each of these four negatives have a positive. Like we learned, number one, the opposite of eish was anava, was humility. The opposite, Rav Chaim Vital told us, the opposite of foolish speech is shtika, is silence. We developed that last week. And he says, number three, the opposite of the pursuit of pleasure is, words bolded, v'hamiyos b'chol tanuge haguf u'mosro hamuchrachim, an absolute rejection of all the pleasures and desires of the body. That's very hard. To give up all pleasure in this world. That's you know, tell me something positive. You're just telling me I can't enjoy anything ever. That's a very hard approach to taiva. That I'm not allowed to enjoy anything. Right? That I have to get to a point of meus, that I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted by a person who has more money, who has more opportunities, more pleasures. Right? As a better spouse or better children, or lives in a bigger house or drives a fancier car. Right, to become disgusted, I don't even want to be able to have the luxuries that that person has. Yes.
Or one of the points saying that nazir is kotel,
right,
is saying that he's rejecting the anaz that a kodesh baruch hu wanted you.
Right. So the nazir, right? There are two different approaches to the nazir. Is the nazir a holy man? On the one hand, he's called holy. On the other hand, he brings a carbon chatas. He's a sinner. Why is a nazir a sinner? Because he's rejecting the beautiful things that God put into this world. There's a gemara in the end of the Yerushalmi in Kedushin, where it says that Rabbi Lazar used to save up money every year, and he would buy all sorts of exotic fruits. And he said the famous line that, you know, they attribute obviously much later to Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch when he decided to go visit the Swiss Alps. And as Talmidim said, this is what, if they travel to see the Swiss Alps, he says, how am I going to come back to my Creator? How am I going to return my soul to my Creator? And God's going to say, you never went to see my Swiss Alps? I created these beautiful things for you to enjoy. So the Yerushalmi says, at the end of Kedushin, the Rav Lazar used to save up money, and one of the other Tanaim said to him, what are you wasting your money on this? To try all these exotic fruits? He says, yes, because one day I'm going to have to answer to God, why didn't you try, you know, this, and why didn't you try that? Right? You know, it wasn't only for Rosh Hashanah so you can make a Shechiyanu, Hashem is going to say. It wasn't so you have to find some exotic prickly pear to make a Shechiyanu. Okay, but yeah, it's a good question. Hashem wants us to enjoy his will. That's part of the problem that I want to try to deal with tonight in trying to make sense of Rav Chaim Vital's approach. Right, to give up all the pleasure leaves us feeling that we're striving for something that might not be humanly possible. Okay, so let's try to first better understand again what is the perversion of this desire for taiva. Because again, we do have natural urges, we do have natural desires, and some of them are very healthy and can be expressed in a very holy and proper way. So let's try to understand what really is the negative side. What is this tavas ta'anugim, again, that the Baal HaTanya, and then previously that earlier, Rav Chaim Vital were speaking about. So I want to read together a passage from Rabbi Steinsaltz. Rabbi Steinsaltz has a multi-volume set on Tanya, printed now in English. The first volume is called Opening the Tanya, and he explains as follows. Some desires derive from other traits. Meaning sometimes we have a taiva because we're trying to get a specific something. There's a certain motivating factor. He says maybe it's motivated by pride. Maybe you act a certain way because of anger and so on. But then there's lust for pleasure. There's taiva for the sake of taiva. Desire for the sake of desire. This desire stems from the element of water, which is the element of life, of fertility, of pleasure. Again, it's that hispashtus that water represents. I just want to try more things to try more things. Again, how fitting it is that it's Parshas Yisro, the one who tried every Avodah Zarah under the sun. He had tried it all. He had experienced everything. Right? There was no pleasure that he denied himself in his exploration to figure out what's life all about. In the godly and positive dimension of reality, water represents benevolence and love. Obviously, again, the positive side of Mayim is Chesed. Water sustains life. It sustains life in a very good way. Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Water is compared to Chesed. On the flip side, you look in Sefer Vayikra, and the Torah warns that a man should not be intimate with his own relative, with his sister, because it's Chesed. It's Chesed. It's the greatest perversion of Chesed. It's misplaced love. It expresses itself in Arayos in the most unholy way. So every holy element, says Rav Steinsaltz, has its negative counterpart on the other side. Again, it could be a source it could be the foundation of the world, this Midah. And we'll see. We'll see that it is the foundation of the world. But again, every holy element has its negative counterpart on the other side. Here, the element of water spawns negative desires and negative passions. Desire, look at what he writes, it's beautiful. It really, I think it captures the whole Yesod. Desire for pleasure as an end in itself, whatever form it may take. I'm not seeking a particular thing. I just want to have more and more and more and more. Pleasure seeking. Tava sata'anugim. Pleasure for the sake of pleasure. Lust for pleasure, he calls it. Desire for the sake of desire. Where pleasure becomes an end in itself. And I don't think I have to give too many examples. Welcome to America 2017. Right? I mean, this is what's happening in the world. Where it becomes a goal, whether it's sometimes openly stated, and it is, or sometimes it's not openly stated, we still have a little bit of a sensitivity. Right? It's the unstated goal of Western culture, and again, not limiting it only to America, I'm referring to Western culture in general, right? Where there's just a desire to do more, to have more unbridled pleasure, and to do whatever I want without any restrictions. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, in the Igros Moshe, of all places, Rav Moshe has a very interesting comment about America. He comments about our country, and again, the blessing that comes with having abundance, which many people, Baruch Hashem, are blessed with. But there's a great danger in that, in terms of being a religious person, being a spiritually connected human being. Hinev Medina Seinu, says Moshe Feinstein in source number 5. Hinev Medina Seinu Mirov HaBracha Shenasan Hashem Yisparach. We're very fortunate we live in a Medina Shel Chesed, that's how you refer to America. A Medina Shel Chesed. Potable tap water. Right, we have water, plenty of water. But yesh ratzon v'tayva gedola lahanas olam hazeh b'chol hata'anukim. But there's a spirit of America that we're constantly seeking pleasures of this world, endless seeking of pleasures of this world, all sorts of ta'anukim, shekorin lezeh. Anyone want to take a stab at it? Good time. The Moshe Feinstein was a master of this. The best one I've ever seen. Ketchup's pretty good. He does ketchup in Rosh Tshuva. He talks about dipping hot foods into ketchup on Shabbos. Is ketchup like a liquid? Is ketchup like a solid? Right? The best one I've ever seen Rav Moshe do is chewing gum. Go, tough shin, aleph, nun, ayin. It's a good one. But this is a pretty good one. Good time. Yeah. In America, everyone wants... The motivating factor in America is not what it originally said on all of our currency, the money that allows us to have the good time, in God we trust. Right? But now it's good time for the sake of good time. Just to have fun. This is something that becomes very destructive for a person. How many people get caught up seeking things, chasing pleasures, chasing good times that they don't really need and they don't really want? And in fact, it doesn't make their life more relaxing. It makes their life more harried. Until you become, literally, you become like an animal. You stop thinking like a human being who's supposed to live life in an elevated way. You become a person who spends his whole life chasing after animalistic urges, whatever I desire, whatever I see on TV, on the computer, on an ad. Right? I need to have that because someone else has that. And it becomes the illness of the generation, of the nation. You become a chayara. And it's not so hard for a human being to become a chayara. When Hashem created man, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said a very controversial statement, two words. Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Let us make man? Who's God talking to? Talking to other gods? Who's let us make man? So Rashi says he's talking to the angels, it's God's humility, he's seeking advice and counsel from others, we should learn from that, to also seek advice and counsel from others. But some say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Adam, he was talking to the world. He said to the world that preceded man, all the wild animals, Hashem turned to all the wild animals and Nasa Adam, let's make man. All of you should donate a little something to the creation of man. Which means if we're not careful, we can very quickly become a wild animal, we can become a chayra. At first, again, we try to work within a halachic framework, of course. We're good from Jews. But we'll find ways to loopholes, you know, to have more fun, because Torah is not fun enough. And if I can't get my fill in a holy way, in a pure way, in a halachically valid way, we won't hold back from pursuing Isser. Because again, we're caught in this trap, this endless seeking of pleasure. And what's so crazy about it is it's never satisfying. Right? That's the tragedy of it. The more you try to pursue the pleasure, the more you feel I need to pursue it even more. Because when you finally get to the next pleasure, you say, well, there must be something, it's not as good as I thought it was, there must be something better. And you spend your whole life pursuing it, and it fails to satisfy. There was an English philosopher in the 1800s who first wrote about this concept, the paradox of hedonism. Or sometimes called the pleasure paradox. What's the pleasure paradox? The more you see, pleasure is supposed to be a natural expression, right? Not where I'm seeking a good time, or I'm pursuing things that somebody else has. Real happiness, real pleasure comes from within a person. The hedonist, the person who's always seeking the pleasure, so he's chasing or she's chasing, and the more you chase it, the more it runs away from you. And is not able to emerge in a natural way, so you're never truly satisfied. And you never experience true pleasure, true happiness. Viktor Frankl, in his very famous and powerful work, Man's Search for Meaning, he says in source number 6, pleasure is and must remain a side effect or byproduct. If you try to chase it, if you try to pursue it, you'll never get it. It's destroyed and spoiled to the degree to which it has made a goal in itself. The more you make that the sole goal, the sole desire, it'll never satisfy. Because there'll always be something better. There'll always be something new. There'll always be that illusion that there's something, there's a greater pleasure, there's a different type of good time that's somewhere beyond. And what happens so tragically is at first it starts off like Rav Moshe Feinstein's describing. Again, it's looking for good times, right? Somewhat innocent, albeit you know, undermining a greater, more purposeful existence. But as time goes on, it's not just a good time anymore, right? Because as you start to pursue it and pursue it and pursue it, and it comes up empty over and over again, and you become frustrated by that, so I either have to say, this is ridiculous, and that's hard to say, since the pleasure is tempting. So you know what I can do instead to rationalize? I can make it into a philosophy. I can make it into a philosophy. At first it's just, you know, I'm allowing myself the pleasures of this world, right? But when I feel that that's not working out, maybe I can make a philosophy out of that pleasure. Maybe I could try to redefine that this is the way it's supposed to be. Even though my body is telling me every time I get that disappointment when the pleasure fails to satisfy, right? When it doesn't achieve its goal, I should have the maturity to say, you know, maybe this isn't it. Maybe I shouldn't spend my life pursuing things that aren't mine. Maybe kinah is destroying me. Maybe it's the most irrational midah. Maybe it's the tenth of the Aseret HaDibros because it corresponds, the Sfarim say, to Yom Kippur. The very fascinating. Again, a shir for another time, but the Aseret HaDibros maybe correspond to the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Maybe Kinah corresponds to Yom Kippur. The day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes about, he says, there are many days, Hashem says, I created many days, but there's one day that's mine. As if to say, what? Yom Kippur is the day where you can be most real with yourself. Yom Kippur is the day where it's not about looking around where everyone else is. It's about you and God. And maybe that's a fundamental attitude to conquer taiva, and to conquer kina, and to conquer chemda. Because I can't have those things. I'll never have those things. And even if I think I can pursue them and access them, they're still not going to satisfy. I'll continue to chase, and I'll continue to look for other things. Again, I want to be clear, and I'm just to be clear again. A lot of what the Svarim are talking about, and it's a delicate thing, obviously, to speak about Barabim, but when we talk about taiva, a lot of what the Svarim are talking about is arayos, right? Is the fallacy of the pleasure that comes from immorality. Right? And again, when society starts to crumble in this regard, so then it makes a new philosophy. It defines new norms. Right? What are considered the sexual morals of the generation? And how old-fashioned and how crude it was, the way we used to live. Right? How we didn't understand we didn't understand human emotions, we didn't understand how people should interact. And that whole sanctity of intimacy is totally lost. Rav Huttner, in a beautiful letter in the Pachad Yitzchak, in source number 7, describes that changing perspective on immorality, on tznius. I know it's not a popular topic to speak about in public, but Rav Huttner talks about what tznius used to be, what pritzus used to be, and what it is today. And again, Rav Huttner passed away in 1980, so we've come a long way. We've come a long way since then. Rav Huttner writes in the middle of the first line in source number 7, "Lahavchin behevdil hatahomi." Let's talk about the gaping hole that has expanded between the horrific state, the horrible state, the horrid state, right? The immoral way that people act today, right? That has taken hold, that has taken root before our eyes in the world today. Versus the way that it was in an earlier generation, where there was also, again, a crumbling of a certain standards of tznius and the like. He says in the third line, "Ki zava sapritzus amishchol elas leinenu einenu mafia b'tor michshol o sitia migidro shel olam." He says it's not just like a minor countercultural seeking of desire. Right, emergence of allowing one to pursue hedonistic pleasures. He says it's much more than that today. He says today it's not just pursuing pleasures. Today it's a philosophy. Look what he writes: El sha'adraba kol atzma eina ella mered beikari emuna. It's trying to uproot the very principles, the fundamental principles upon which Jewish life has been founded. Hamunachem biyasodesh al tznius. Right, the sanctity of a Jewish marriage. What a relationship is supposed to look like. The way people are supposed to act publicly and privately. There's a total breakdown of that. And he says it's a hiskomimus keneged kol ishtaklus shel romibus b'mayanei achayim. He says it's a revolt, it's a rebellion, it's a hiskomimus, it's a revolution against the perspective of an elevated lifestyle that a Jew wants to live. And he says in the next line, he says, the line that begins, Yadanu ki dafka b'tchum zeh shal kedushas chai ishus b'yisrael. It's specifically in this context that we find halacha becoming so vigilant in taking a stand. The concept of kenayin poginva. When Cosby and Zimri are committing an act of arayos in public, and it's an unbelievable disgrace for the Jewish people, and Pinchas gets up and he grabs a spear, and he says, I can't allow this to happen because this is going to cause society, not just Jewish society, it's going to cause the whole world to crumble if we lose our morals in this regard. So Pinchas gets up, he grabs a spear, and we know, Cosby Zimri Shishkava. Yeah? So says Rav Huttner so creatively, and again it's based on, he says, Chachmei Emes, which means earlier Kabbalistic sources. Why a romach? Why didn't he take a spear? Why didn't he take a sword? Why didn't he take a shotgun? Why did he take a spear? What's the secret of the romach? Yeah, Rizal talks about it. Romach, we know, the human body is made up of Ramach Evarim, 248 limbs. And Rav Huttner again, very delicately, alludes to a Maimer Chazal, that when a person is involved, obviously in a sexual relationship, an intimate relationship, it's a type of pleasure, Shekol Gufo Margishpo, he says two lines from the end. It's something that what? That it's a pleasure, at least there's a perception that it's a pleasure that will envelop the entire person. And therefore comes along Pinchas, and he takes a Romach, and he says, if we become careless, if we become casual in this type of thing, then we're destroying the Jewish home, we're destroying relationships, we're undermining Olam Chesed Yibaneh, we're undermining the first Mitzvah Pura Revu, and we're destroying the world. And therefore he takes a Romach and he says, this will destroy you from head to toe. The pursuit of pleasure could destroy a person. And it has, and it does. And that's exactly what Steinsaltz is talking about. Again, when a person starts to lust for l'shem lust, taiva l'shem taiva, where it's pursuing taiva for the sake of taiva, where it's not even something that I desire, but I'm creating, I'm looking for new ways to create temptations that I don't even have. Because I'm just bored of the old ones. There's a very strange, there's such an unusual phrase that we say by the Yom Norah. In all of the Al-Khaits, right? Al-Khait, Hashem, I'm sorry that I sinned in this way, and I'm sorry that I sinned in that way. We have such an unusual Al-Khait. Very strange Al-Khait. We say, Al-Khait shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzahara. Hashem, I'm so sorry I sinned before you with the Yetzahara. Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in a Sefer, v'nichta b'sefer, in the first volume, he says, tell me, what Avera is not done with Yetzahara? That's like the most general statement. Achet shachatanu lefanecha b'yetzahara. I understand. Achet shachatanu lefanecha with eating and drinking. Achet shachatanu lefanecha with lashon hara. The other ones I understand. They're talking about a specific shortcoming in my relationship with God or my fellow man. What's achet shachatanu lefanecha b'yetzahara? I'm so sorry that I sinned with my yetzahara. So Yaakov Meir Shechter says a very scary thing. It's a very true thing. We sometimes are creating new yetzaharas for ourselves. We're creating taivas that we don't even have. And again, we sometimes do it in a very firm way. You know? But we pursue all sorts of pleasures that are really ridiculous if we stop and think about it. You know, like I want to go on a Pesach program where I can have LeBron James at my Seder. But don't worry, everything's Chol of Yisrael and there's Daf Yomi and like it's like a very firm thing. Right? But we're creating like ridiculous things just to keep changing the standards, like, oh, but I'm gonna be the one who has this. Right? And I'm gonna be the one who has this pleasure or that pleasure. And again, we'll couch it within a framework of something authentically Jewish, right? But it's taiva l'shem taiva. We're creating yitzharas we don't even have, as if we didn't have enough to grapple with. We have to create new things. Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a quiet moment where the yitzhar is not chasing after you, where the yitzhar is not leading the way, where he's not offering you something which is hard as a human being to turn down. And a person in that moment, in that quiet moment, decides, you know what? The purpose of my life is to have a good time. So you start thinking creatively. How can I have a good time? You start creating Yetzirah. You start inviting the Yetzirah into your life, he says. Take a look at the end of that first column in Source 8. Last line. Va'adam mamshich al atzmo. You have a quiet moment. A rega is a shoket Yetzirah. Va'adam mamshich al atzmo. Top of the left column is a Yetzirah. And you invite the Yetzirah. You invite him out for a cup of coffee to come up with new ideas, new schemes, new plans, new ways to have a good time. Even if you have a Yetzahara, you have to try to keep Hashem as the king. You have to try to fight back against the things that the Yetzahara offers you. But in that moment when things are just fine, and you're able to maybe look at the things that you have in your life and realize, I have a lot of good things already. In that moment, the Yetzirah is leaving you alone and you invite him, you say, come, let's go have a good time together. Let's go practice the philosophy of the street. This is a unique type of illness, a unique type of evil. And Hashem says, seriously? I gave you enough to grapple with. You didn't need to create more taivas. You didn't need to create more yetzaras. You didn't need to use the mayim to continue to expand over and over and over again. Don't you realize the pleasure paradox? Don't you realize it's not going to get you anywhere? Don't you realize that it's an endless pursuit of frustration? Right? And why do we fall into that trap over and over again? So this is the negative side. This is the negative side, and I've shared more muster than I feel comfortable with. I'm out of my comfort zone by a long stretch, enough for the year. So now let's flip it around. We have to flip it around. Let's come to the positive. Right? Because Rav Chaim Vital is telling us, and it makes sense, this could destroy you from head to toe. This could take over your life. This could make you an irrational person seeking things that you'll never have. Like someone else's spouse or children or job or car when you'll never have it. It's not possible. It can never be. Right? And you pursue and you waste money on pleasures thinking it's going to be the answer to your happiness problem when it's really not. And we understand why Rav Chaim Vital tells us the response is to learn to reject, to again, the words that he used in the what was it, the third source, to come to a state of mius, right? To become repulsed. What was his lashon? Rav Chaim Vital in the third source. Right? V'hamius b'chol ta'anuge ha'guf u'mosro ha'muchrachim. That even the necessary pleasures should be somewhat repulsive to us. Because if I don't put up a strong wall against it, then I'm just going to keep expanding further and further and further and further. So we understand. We understand sort of that idea. We understand how destructive it can be. But what we don't understand, or at least what I don't understand, is coming back to the yesod that this whole thing is based on, which is water. You're basically telling me, Reb Chaim Vital, that I need to swear off water. Right? I mean, the mashal and the nimshal don't match up so well. I understand when you tell me it's taiva, you tell me it's kina, you tell me it's chemda, you tell me it's pursuit of, it's that endless pursuit of pleasure that will never satisfy. I understand why it makes sense to turn around and say, that's not for me. But in terms of the mashal nimshal, you're asking me to swear off water. You're telling me to give up water. I need water to survive. And my whole life is water. I live within water. I understand the negative side of water. Yes, I remember 2012. I remember Hurricane Sandy. I remember it was the second most destructive hurricane that ever hit the United States of America. So I understand that water can be destructive. I understand that. I understand too much water could destroy a person. I understand that. There was an event a long time ago called the Mabel. We remember. We understand that water can destroy. Right? But you're telling me to reject water entirely. I need water to survive. I can't live without water. My body is made up of water. 60% of my body, the majority of who I am is water. So how are you telling me to be in a state of meals or complete and utter rejection of it? 70% of my brain, you're telling me to be rational. Don't chase after chemda, don't chase after kina, don't chase after desires that will never be actualized. But my brain is filled with water. So what do you want from me? My lungs are 90% water. My body desperately needs water to sustain itself. My world is 71% water. So Rabbana Shalom, what do you want? If you're surrounding me by water, if I'm living within water, how can you tell me to run the other way from Tanuk? To run away from water? Again, the Mashal and the Nimshal don't seem to add up very well. And Bechlal, I'll make the question even sharper. You're telling me that Tanuk is so destructive, it's so bad, that it's one of the terrible midos that could ruin a person. So then how do you explain the following statement from the Sefer Yetzirah? When the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest books of Kabbalah, tells us in source number 9, Ein betova, there is nothing good, lamalame onek. There's nothing better than onek, than tanug. And Rav Chaim Vital is telling me, no, tanug is going to ruin you. Tanug is mayim, mayim zeidonim, destructive waters. So why is he telling, give me an option to be involved with water. I have to learn how to use water. Because again, that's my whole existence, that's my world. This Shabbos, Parshas Yisro, Kabbalah Satorah. Can you think of something that Torah is compared to? How about the Gemara in Bava Kamma, source number 10, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. You know what water is? Water is Torah. Water is a representation of Torah, and Torah is represented by water. Shenemar, Hoi Kol Tzamei Lechu L'Mayim. Anyone who's thirsty, come to the water. So how can you tell me to get rid of water in my life? Again, I understand it can be dangerous, it can be destructive, but how can you tell me to get to a state of, again, meas of utter rejection of it? Torah is water. A couple of years ago, we were in Camp Morashah for the summer, and I was involved in helping to run the girls' base medrash program. So all of a sudden, one day, the phone rings in the base medrash. I pick up the phone, and they said, hi, is this the girls' waterfront? So I said, sort of. They said, can I speak to so-and-so? I said, no, she's not here. They're like, who is this? I said, it's Rabbi Weinberg. So it's Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. They said, wait, is this the girls' BMP or this is the... I said, is this the waterfront? I said, well, in my mouth, Torah, so, you know, this is sort of the waterfront. I said, but I think you have the wrong number if you're looking for, you know, the other waterfront. Yeah, so in my mouth, Torah, we need water. We need water to survive. Our bodies are water. Our world is water. Our brains are filled with water. Everything's water. Our whole universe is water. Olam chesed yibana. Hashem use chesed. Chesed is compared to water. How about a person who's tameh? How do you cleanse yourself from tumah? You go into water. So how can you tell me water is so evil and so destructive? Right? Rabbi Nassan of Breslov writes in Lakutei Halachos, in the Tilas Yadayim. He says water is the source of all purity. So how can you tell me that water is so threatening, so dangerous? Of all the liquids that Torah is compared to, water is the main one. What is the main thing that Torah is compared to? How about the famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva in Brachos Samach Aleph? When Rabbi Akiva gave the mashal with the fox, right, standing on the shore, telling the fish to come out of the water. The same way Rabbi Akiva was being coerced to give up his Torah. And he said, if I stay and learn Torah, maybe the Romans will catch me, maybe they'll kill me. And they did. Right? But if I come out of the water, then I'm like if I give up Torah, then I'm like a fish out of water. So that notion of swimming in the water, not just having a little bit of a relationship with water, but living within water, is so much a part of a Torah hashkafa, of a Torah reality. So how could Rav Chaim Vital tell us that water is nothing other than something dangerous? And what is the positive side of water? So I think the answer is something that the Maharal talks about in the Gevuras Hashem. Again, it's not on the page in front of you, it's a long piece, it's in the 18th parak of the Gevuras Hashem. And he goes on from there to discuss the notion of Moshe Rabbeinu, ki min ha-mayim mishisihu. But first the Maharal says, what's unique about water, and it's true probably more so than any of the other elements, although you could argue that other elements have a little bit of this, water is unique in that water doesn't have a tzura. Water doesn't have a form. There's no absolute form of water. Water will take on whatever shape you superimpose upon it. So if you put water into a vessel that's square, the water will be square. If you put water into a vessel that's round, water will be round. Water will mold itself into whatever you choose to mold it into. It doesn't have a definitive tzura. You decide what you want the water to look like. And he goes on to say, so too Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the tzura of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu, the transmitter of Torah, Zichra Torah Moshe, Moshe becomes one who gives shape to the world, gives purpose to the world, gives definition to the world. And I think that's really the secret of Mayim. You can look at Mayim, you can say water could destroy you, and water is taiva, and it's irrational, and it's passion that will never satisfy. But Hashem put us in the water for a reason. Hashem made our world filled with water, made our bodies filled with water. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu surround us with water? Why is Torah compared to water? Why does the Sefer Yetzirah say there's nothing higher than Tanug, which Rav Chaim Vital is telling us, run away from Tanug. Run away from Tanug Olam Hazeh. Why did Hashem surround us with so much temptation? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that just like the water itself can be molded, can be shaped into something very different, in a positive or a negative sense, it's up to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what I want you to do with the water. I want you to understand that yes, there's a very negative side of water, but there's also a very positive side of water. And they're mamish the opposite of one another. The very famous words of the Rambam, the last Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Biya, again, where the Rambam talks about the dangers of a person who pursues these types of pleasures. The Rambam writes in the second line, Gedola mikol zos. If you want to be in control, again, particularly of this Yetzirah of Arayos, which is so much connected to Mayim. Amru. We're taught, our sages teach us, put your mind into what waters? Into the waters of Torah. Expand your consciousness with Torah, with wisdom. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, and again we don't have time to expound upon it fully now, but Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's poresh min ha'isha. He's the one who draws back a little bit. He's min ha'mayim mishisihu. He withdraws from the Mayim. He withdraws from the negative waters to be able to become the transmitter of the waters of Torah. He understands that delicate balance. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is the one, when we cross the Yam Suf, and everyone else is taking the money and the pleasures of Mitzrayim, and it was a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them, Beruchosh Gadol, to leave Mitzrayim, to leave with great treasures. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I understand the danger of pleasure. I'm going to be the one to split the waters, to carve a path of Yabasha, a healthy path through the waters, between the waters. And I'm going to be the one who's going to what? While everyone else is taking the spoils of Mitzrayim, I'm going to be carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. The one who knew how to balance this in a very delicate way. How to turn down the temptations of Eishes Potiphar when it was impossible for him to do such a thing. In fact, the Medrash says in Tehillim, Hayam Ra'a Vayanas, the sea saw something, the Yam saw something, and it fled. What did it see? Says the Medrash, Arono Shel Yosef. What caused the water to get out of the way? Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef was in control of this Midah, of Mayim, this Yisod of Mayim. This attribute of the human condition called Mayim, which again could be used to destroy, or could be used in such a beautiful and productive way. And that's why Hashem gave us all these drives. Hashem wants us to be passionate about what? About Him. About Torah. And to always feel that no matter how much Torah I learn, there's always more. There's always more to do, to never rest on our laurels. The same way that the person who's caught up in the taiva of the Mayim Zeidonim, of the negative waters, is always pursuing and pursuing. That's the pleasure paradox. When a person learns Torah, it's like drinking salty water. You become thirstier and thirstier for more Torah and for more Elokus in your life. There's a beautiful teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich in the second to last source. The Maggid of Mezrich taught on the pasuk in last week's parsha, the piece is printed in his sefer in this week's parsha, Torah Samagin in this week's parsha, that when Moshe is standing there, again, according to Chazal, one opinion, it was the bones of Yosef that caused the water to get out of the way. Yosef, who was able to turn down the waters, to overcome the waters, again, the temptation of Eishes Potiphar, has the ability to command the waters to get out of his way. But we know, Pashup Shad, Moshe is standing by the waters, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Hareim es matcha. Hareim es matcha literally means lift up your staff. Says the Maggid of Mezrich, the student of the Baal Shem Tov, the second leader of the world of Hasidus. Says the Maggid of Mezrich, Hareim means what? To lift up. Matcha, the mateh, means your netiyah. The thing that you're inclined towards. Says the Maggid of Mezrich, Hareim es matcha means what? Direct your leaning. Direct the thing that you're leaning towards. Which means what? If you see that you're living in a world, right? Where the philosophy is to have a good time. Where the philosophy is always to be seeking more, greater pleasure. Right? Try to hareim es matcha. Don't reject it. And here's where I'm going to draw a distinction between what Rav Chaim Vital told us and what Hasidus tells us. Really the difference between Hasidus and Kabbalah. Because Kabbalah, as Arya Kaplan would famously define it, Kabbalah tries to take man out of this world, take him into the higher spheres. But most of us don't know how to do that. Most of us are living in the water. So we need to learn how to function in the water, and that's what Hasidus comes to do. Hasidus tries to bring the heavens down to man, that I should live an elevated life in this world. Hareim es matcha means I have an etiyah, I'm a human being. I have all sorts of desires. It's natural for me to seek pleasure. But hareim es matcha, lift up your leaning. Try to elevate the thing that you're inclined towards. Learn to use it in a holy way, as opposed to using it in a cheap way. Realize that same excitement, what the Rambam is describing here, the same excitement that a person gets from pursuing an intimate relationship, a person can get the same geshmak, the same enjoyment out of Torah, if a person's open to it. The same way that a person, the Chaim Vital said, wants to steal, to take away from others, because there's an unbelievable sweet pleasure that comes from stolen waters, as it says in Mishlei. In the ninth parak of Mishlei, Mayim Gnuvim Yimtaku, stolen waters are sweet. Well, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. What does it mean to steal Torah? What does it mean to taste the sweetness of stolen Torah? The Chassam Sofer and many other tzaddikim explain, steal a few minutes to be connected to God, in a place where it's not obvious to be connected to God. Steal a few minutes. In a time where you could just be relaxing. But have a quiet moment with Hashem. Daven not in the context of davening. Learn Torah not when it's your official chavrusa time. Right? Steal a moment and you'll see, you'll taste some of that sweetness of Torah. That same pleasure. Kavata itim la Torah. One of the questions a person is asked in the world of truth. Kavata itim la Torah. Pashup Shad, did you establish times for Torah? Did you come out to a Thursday night shir that was scheduled on the calendar? That's very good. But also the Sfarim say, Kavata, the word, that shoresh, kuf beis ayin, sometimes in Tanakh means to steal. Kavata itim la Torah, did you steal moments for Torah? Because you'll taste a certain sweetness, right? That illicit pleasure of a stolen moment. We steal away a moment with God. Right? Taste some of that pleasure. That's a beautiful thing. That's why Hashem again put us in the water. Hashem filled us with these temptations because He wants us hareim es matcha to elevate the thing that you're leaning towards. Again, I think this is the key difference between what Rav Chaim Vital is saying. Again, from that world of Kabbalah, the world of Yarizal, where we have to run away from the water. But lamaisa, for most of us, that's not an option. We have to learn how to grapple with the water. So I'll end with such an interesting quote from the Sefer Hayom Yom. Hayom Yom, a collection of teachings of the Lubavitch Rebbe put together at the behest of the previous Lubavitch Rebbe. And each day of the calendar with a portion of Torah to learn in Nigla, in Nistar, and a Hasidic teaching for the day. So he quotes here, Lubavitch Rebbe quotes from the Rebbe Rayatz, quote, Kedushas Admor Shlita, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, Zatzal, at this point, when he wrote it, it was still Shlita, Paga Benose Delayim Malayim Mayim. He once encountered a water carrier, a Wasserträger, a water schlepper, carrying pails filled with water. Vayomer, and he said to him, okay, I'm going to try my best with the Yiddish. If anyone wants to take it, well, I'll take a volunteer. When you encounter water, the Baal Shem Tov taught, thus is a simen bracha. The Rebbe Rayatz told that water schlepper that day he was carrying water, that when a person encounters water, there's a teaching you're supposed to say from the Baal Shem Tov. What are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say that the Baal Shem Tov said that when you encounter water, it's a simen bracha. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what the Rebbe Rayatz told this water schlepper. He said, when you encounter water, you should say a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov. And the teaching from the Baal Shem Tov is that the Baal Shem Tov said that when you encounter water, you should say that water is a simen bracha. What does the Baal Shem Tov mean that water is a simen bracha? It means that Lamaisa, at the end of the day, our lives are filled with water. Our lives are filled with temptations. And it's not getting any easier. As Rav Moshe Feinstein said, this is the mahalich of Western culture, which it's almost impossible for us to get away from. And this is a philosophy. This is the philosophy, says Rav Huttner. It's not just a temptation that someone's giving into. It's a new philosophy. It's the way the world functions today. Right? But we have to not only run away from it, as we also need to do, like Rav Chaim Vital told us, but like the Baal Shem Tov said, that when you encounter water, tell yourself, this is a siman bracha. When I have a taiva for something, maybe harei mesmatcha, maybe I can redirect it towards something holy. Maybe I can actually use that to deepen my commitment and my passionate service of Hashem. Not to be afraid of the water. Because again, lamaisa, at the end of the day, our whole lives are surrounded by water. So Amir Tzashem, we should be zocha. We should be zocha to understand the bracha, the siman bracha that Baal Shem Tov is describing here. To understand ein mayim al Torah. To understand what the Sefer Yetzirah said. That there's nothing greater than oneg. And the owning that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when again, when we take those temptations, and we take all of those human desires, and we channel it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Torah, and His mitzvahs. Have a great Shabbos.